Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men TV. Yes, the footy's back. Finally, forget all that international nonsense. It's time for the Premier League. There are 10 games to go in the league. The title race is underway. We're in the starting blocks, and we're ready to go ahead. This first weekend, of course, it's Liverpool versus Brighton on Sunday. To talk all about it, I've got Dan Club, and I've got John Reading. We can't wait to get started. But before we do, just want to let you guys know that today's episode of the Match Preview does have a sponsor. We're delighted to have a brand new offer from our good friends over at HelloFresh. So if you're interested in getting some boss food and getting it at a discount price, check out what the best cook at the Red Men HQ, Mr. Chris Pajak, has to say about our good friends over at HelloFresh.
Today we have partnered with the amazing HelloFresh.
Use the code REDMEN and get 60% off your first box as well as 20% off your next 2 months. And if that's not all, you'll get free gifts as well.
HelloFresh is the ridiculously easy way to plan and cook meals at home. Simply pick a meal plan that works for you, get your fresh ingredients delivered to your door, and then follow the simple instructions to cook your delicious meal. I've chosen the chicken and plum stir fry today, and there are a massive range of recipes to choose from on HelloFresh. You can filter your recipes by mostly meat, veggie, quick to cook, low calorie, and more to fit your lifestyle. You can also tailor your meal plans by the number of people you're cooking for and how many recipes you want per week. We all lead busy lives, and having to fit in work, family, friends, and footy is time consuming. So don't make meal planning add to your list of jobs. HelloFresh makes sure you have everything you need to cook a quick and nutritious meal so you can spend less time prepping your foods and more time doing the things that you love. So just to repeat, the code is REDMEN. It will give you 60% off your first box as well as 20% off for the next 2 months. And you'll get free gifts. Scan the QR code on the screen and you can be enjoying HelloFresh very soon.
Now it's time for the taste test. That is so good. Absolutely superb.
Yeah, there you have it, Chris, whipping up a fantastic meal. I had a little taste myself as well, I can confirm it was absolutely delicious. So yeah, if you want to get involved, the link is in the description, or if you just go to hellofresh.co.uk, use that promo code REDMEN, you'll get 60% off your first box, 20% off the next 2 months, you get some free gifts as well. Go get yourselves involved, especially over the break, if you're struggling what to make while you're off for a couple of weeks with the kids or whatever. Yeah, HelloFresh, I've got you boxed off, pardon that particular pun, all the T&Cs are in the description below. Right then, guys, we've just seen Chris box off a delicious meal, Dan. Liverpool needs to box off beating Brighton and Hove Albion. Doing me research this morning, because I'll be honest, I've had a nice little break. Obviously, we've been on tour, which was fantastic as well. Getting back into the swing of things with footy, ignoring all the news that's been, you know, on the noise. I did look into it, and Liverpool's record against Brighton, and in particular against Roberto De Zerbi's Brighton, is pretty poor. We haven't beaten them in four attempts under this manager. Some high scoring games, a couple of losses, a couple of draws as well. So it isn't the most easiest of sets. You know, talk about bogey teams of the past, it feels like Brighton at the moment, you know, Liverpool have only beaten them once since November 2020 or something. It does feel like these are the team who have caused us problems in for a couple of years now.
Yeah, they definitely have. Yeah, they've been our kryptonite a little bit, I think. Certainly under De Zerbi, as you mentioned. I think stylistically it's quite contrasting, and it doesn't suit the way we want to go about our business. It sort of causes more problems than a lot of teams do across the Premier League. And obviously we've seen that in various competitions now as well with Brighton. So I was actually really pleased to see them get knocked out of the Europa League for that exact reason, to be honest. So yeah, it's we definitely owe them one, and some. As I say, certainly De Zerbi's version of the side. Obviously, there's a lot of noise. You mentioned the news. There's a lot of noise around De Zerbi potentially being one of the candidates for the Liverpool job. Yeah, so there's that narrative as well at play here, whatever you think of him. He's definitely in contention. He's definitely among the candidates, it looked like. So maybe there's a little storyline there. But ultimately, for me, I mean, listen, we've got to take every single opponent on face value. And as you say, Brighton have caused us a whole manner of problems in recent years. So we're going to have to be absolutely at it. We're going to have to play our very best footy. The Anfield factor, of course, helps. But for me, it's all about the importance and the magnitude of this particular game. Obviously, going ahead of what's to come in terms of Man City against Arsenal, like all these games now, potentially, hopefully, the last 15 games are going to matter absolutely incredibly. But this one, the start of the running, if you like, is just so, so crucial. And it's so important that we get off to a good start in this. And for us, it's about taking care of business. And I think there's no better way. A little bit of a statement potentially as well, I'm expecting. I know, having said all that, Brighton are a good side. They've got good players, good manager, etc., etc., etc. But Liverpool at Anfield, you've got to back us.
It's one of them, John, isn't it? Because Brighton this year, like, people are going, they've been a little bit underwhelming, but they are eighth, and they did get to, you know, they got really far in Europe. They only, you know, they got to the fifth round of the FA Cup. Like, they're not having a bad season, you know what I mean, compared to last year. It's not that different. They've had a ton of injuries. They've had loads more games to play as well. But Dan is right. I was saying, their last five Premier League games, they've lost, they've won, they've drawn, they've lost, they've won. Like, that's kind of, it's been that for them. On their day, they can be fantastic. But they're also a team who needed a 95th minute equaliser to draw with Everton at home, or got battered by Fulham. Like, it has been very, very Jekyll and Hyde for them, which, you know, hopefully Liverpool get the bad version on Sunday, but they have shown the good version has turned up plenty of times this season as well.
Yeah, he's had a weird season, I think, Deserby, and I think, in a weird way, I think he almost doesn't get enough credit because he, when you look at the players they lost in the summer, like that midfield too and stuff especially, like, you know, he's had to do a lot to sort of put a new team together, like on the quiet, and like obviously the whole sort of Thursday Sunday thing with being in the Europa League for the first time. But they're a weird team. I mean, like, you know, if you watched them in Italy, like, his teams were like that there. You know, he'd win one game 5-0, get B5-0 the next year, and that's just how he plays football. You know what I mean? He's not interested in defending. He's interested in maximising his attacking opportunities. I think the only frustrating thing for us is how they use the ball. I think they're so good at keeping possession, even if they're not necessarily doing anything with it per se. But for us, I think that given the magnitude around the game, if you like, in terms of it, as you say, being the first game back, starting the running, just the potential that can sort of, like, you know, upset the crowd a bit, you know, when we start to lose our heads and
frustration.
And that's the only thing I'm slightly worried about. I think in terms of people on the pitch and stuff with the injuries they've had this season, you know, they're missing a lot of their sort of key players, I think. So I think in terms of firepower, I think we're probably okay. But that type of team, I think, where, like I say, they can sort of keep the ball for 45 minutes, you don't do a lot, and then all of a sudden you just hit you on the break, and I'd be a little bit looking out for that, really.
From their point of view, Dan, I suppose they have got some big players missing, actually a couple of players who have hurt Liverpool in recent games. Solly March, you know, I think he was on the brink of maybe getting an England call up before he got a real bad injury. He has definitely hurt Liverpool in the past. I vouch for that. I was at the Amex that game when he absolutely, if it was 3-0, wasn't it? And it could have been way more. He scored the first two. Matoma's out now. Again, he's been very much in and out all season. They've lost him. He's pretty much done. João Pedro's been out for a while. Now he's back in training. Whether he's good to go straight away from the off, or whether he's a sub at the weekend, Milner's a doubt as well. So it isn't the same Brighton that Liverpool have had to deal with. But in particular, Marsh and Matoma are two who have definitely caused us problems. Obviously, Trossard, they've sold. Yeah. He doesn't play for them anymore, another one. So it isn't the same Deserbi Brighton, but they'd still play the same way, regardless of who's on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, they're going to look to play the way they want to play football without a shadow of a doubt. And that has really caused their downfall, I think it's fair to say, on numerous occasions. We mentioned the inconsistency of them a moment ago, and that stems from the fact they do still want to play this quite expansive, possession-hungry football. And when you don't quite have the same personnel to do it that you have week in, week out, or if you lost a couple like you did with McAllister and Caicedo or Solly Margie, I think Matoma's brilliant, by the way, so he's a big old loss for them. But that can lead to not just getting beat sometimes, to getting absolutely done. Like, obviously, they got absolutely snotted over in Roma, didn't they? And they don't tend to just get beat one or two. They get
three.
Yeah, they get beat properly. You know what I mean? I think that stems, you mentioned, obviously, he wants to be attacking. I think when he came in, obviously, Potter's Brighton were very different. They had all the possession, but they didn't really hurt teams very often. De Zerbi's added the goals, but where he sort of gained in that end of the field, he's lost a bit at the back. They're nowhere near as sold as he once were. So from our perspective, in terms of firepower, he would back us to have joy against them, which is a massive positive going into this one, of course. But yeah, in terms of personnel, they're massive misses for them. Even if João Pedro is back, I don't want to be the famous last words on this, but having not played for the 2 months he hasn't played for, you'd expect it might take a little bit of time to get back up and running.
You doubt he starts.
Match fitness and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, so I think injury-wise, you know, we'll touch on ours in a moment, we're starting to get back, we're starting to see some strength come back into the bench and stuff like that, so I'd be relatively okay. And as I mentioned earlier on, like, the occasion and what it means and the way Brighton play football, I think there is an element of, John, you mentioned the frustration maybe setting in when they are keeping the ball well and all that sort of stuff, and maybe it does negate what we're good at and what we want to do, and that might become annoying at some point, but ultimately we just got to play our own football and get it done.
That game at the Amex this season, obviously we drew 2-2, I think for the first half they absolutely wiped the floor with us. Mm-hmm. And then Liverpool had a good little spell, they scored the 2 goals either side, and they actually could have had a man sent off. Brighton went on the penalty decision, that didn't go Liverpool's way, and then Lewis Dunk gets a relatively late goal. It could have been worse, you know. Ryan Gravenberch missed a sitter. Mm-hmm. They missed sitter, John. It was a game that Liverpool weren't in control of really at any point. That isn't what we want, really, especially at home. Those games where it's a little bit chaotic, and I think Brighton don't mind that. They'll embrace the chaos. I think that one there, Jürgen, looking back on that, it probably got away from Liverpool a little bit too much. What do you think they can do differently to, yeah, just have a bit more control in the game? Because that one was a bit all over the place, really. As of a lot of games against Brighton have been, really, you know, 3-alls and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's hard to think, isn't it? Because I think it's like you sort of need... You almost need to sort of match them. It's a bit like when you play City, you almost need to sort of match them man for man, in that, like, you can't just put like loads of lads out who are really tall, say, and go like, right, we're gonna play, essentially play 4 centre-halves, say, put Gomez in, that kind of thing. You need to be have players who are mobile and who can get on the ball and sort of who are willing to be in the tackle, if you like. I think the midfield, really, for me, and this is going to be key in terms of sort of like people obviously, particularly with the Japan game being cancelled, like people like Endo, like just in terms of like ball recoveries and stuff, we need to be winning the ball in terms of the midfield area, like quite high up the pitch, and using that to our advantage. But you know, we should touch on it there with Dan. It's like these are not the same team who we played earlier in the season. You know, at that point they were still sort of riding high off the back of last year. You know, where they sort of finished and that. Some of the signings, all the signings they seem to have made, and some of it all seems to work. New players are coming in and we're doing well, so. They're in a slightly different place, you know. I think you'll actually see them become slightly more consistent in these last 10 games now that out of Everton they're starting to get players back, but from our perspective, you've just got to try and manage what they do. And I just think, you know, in terms of the team you can put out on the pitch at the minute, it's probably one of the strongest teams we've been able to play for a while, you know, in terms of the injuries. It's only really, I think, Robbo, isn't it, who's probably like the major doubt, and maybe Trent, but that doesn't really bother me. I think like a lot of the people who've played recently, we're in a good place, I think, in terms of football, in terms of minutes and legs and stuff. So I feel sort of confident that any sort of, you know, combination of players he'd put out on the pitch, you know, would manage the game well, I think, in terms of keeping the Reds.
What I would say, Dan, if you switch over to Liverpool now, and before we look at team news, actually, we are recording this. It is currently live at 10:50 a.m. So Jürgen's press conference isn't for another couple of hours, so bear with us. We know there's a couple of lads who haven't trained. We'll talk through it in a moment. The one good thing that Liverpool won't mind, I think, you know, playing on Easter Sunday, it might not be ideal for family reasons. There's a lot of kids out there who are going to have to eat the chocolate early and then get to the game or whatever. But it has given Liverpool a little bit of a buffer from the international break. You know, players arriving back Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. You're not going straight into a Saturday game. Like, Liverpool have got a little bit of a buffer there. They train Thursday, they'll train Friday, they'll train Saturday. So it does feel like Jürgen's got to probably more time than he usually gets after, between any games, really, to properly have a little go at the squad, you know, get them all ready, because it's a big running coming up. So the fact that it is that this game has been moved to Sunday, it feels like that is something that could be a big advantage to us, because you know how much he values that training time.
Yeah, it's a blessed relief, really, isn't it? Because almost exclusively we're the 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday after international break, so to not be that is something in itself. But you're absolutely spot on. You mentioned obviously the extra days there, but not only that, when you look at like the Darwin Nunes, Mo Salah didn't even travel, and even some of the lads that did travel, the travel was nowhere near as exhausting as it often is. Even South Americans, a lot of them didn't go to South America, they played their games across Europe and stuff like that. So, and obviously you mentioned with Talo Endo, their second game got cancelled, so he's been back for three or four more days than he might have been anyway. So this international break has been nowhere near as taxing as they often are, so I think you're absolutely spot on. I think in terms of preparation, there really are no excuses. Like, how often do we come into these games after a break and we're still working out how long it takes to get back from Argentina for Alexis McAllister and mad stuff like that? That's not a conversation this time. So yeah, it's there's no excuses ultimately is kind of the point here. And listen, I said earlier on, Brighton are a good side. I think you're right. I think their consistency might pick up now because they're not having to cope with what was a bit alien to them in terms of the Thursday Sundays, and they've kind of got their cards now in terms of the players have settled in, that they've left, I mean, they lost the players they lost last summer, a couple of injuries still holding them back and stuff like that. But yeah, Liverpool's preparation I don't think could have gone any better, and that's in the training obviously this week, players back on the fringe of it, maybe the bench is looking stronger. Like I mentioned, the bench before the break was stronger. Obviously Gravenberch was an unused sub, I think, at Old Trafford, so to have him back's really good. Obviously Buchanan got some minutes in his leg, so really it feels like things are just starting to come together. And obviously the Robertson blows a blow, but even that was good news last night, wasn't it? Robertson, it's just days as opposed to weeks. So yeah, Brighton, proper side, proper challenge, all that sort of stuff. But from our point of view, it's looking all right.
Injury wise then, we know like not the long term absences are just back at Jürgen. You'll confirm that later. I think he did his own mini press conference at the side of the AXA the other day when he was talking to the fans. But no Alisson, probably still no Trent, no Jota as well. We'll wait and see on Curtis Jones and Andy Robertson. Darwin Nunes looks like he should be fine. Obviously he missed international duty with a slight issue, but I think that was more precautionary than anything else, so we'll wait and see as well. Ibu Kanate didn't train on Thursday, but again we don't know why that was. It might just been a manager minutes things. He did play for France of course, so we'll see how that goes as well. So with that being said, Dan, we need to try and pick ourselves a little bit of a team to face Brighton. So Keeves in goal.
Yeah.
Conor Bradley's at right back.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Virgil van Dijk's our centre-back.
Yeah.
So, we're waiting for Ibu Konate, it's worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. If Ibu's fit, he plays. If not, Quanta.
Yeah, it's Quanta. Yeah, it's fine as well.
You're happy with that?
Yeah.
And then, if no Robbo, you've got Gomez or you've got Costas at left-back. Or you could play Costas left-back and Gomez right-back. I probably should mention that.
Yeah, you should probably mention that. I would be Joe Gomez at left-back.
Agreed.
Personally. Yeah. For this one, with keeping Conor Bradley. Conor Bradley deserves his spot at right back based on form, let alone anything else. Like, he's been after another goal in the break, of course, for Northern Ireland. So, yeah, I think Joe Gomez, likewise, based on form, deserves to have a place in this team pretty much anywhere he can get him. And clearly, the open spot right now is left back. And his form at left back has been better than Kostas Tsimikas's for me. And Tsimikas has been perfectly fine, but Gomez has been outstanding. So, yeah, that'd be my back five.
Conor Bradley has been a good form. We were obviously, we'd done the tour before. Obviously, me, Paul and Chris were over in Belfast and in Dublin. Got a chat here from Ganto, who says, are you recovered from Dublin? I'm all right. What I would say about in Belfast, they love Conor Bradley.
Liverpool.
Yeah, I was going to say, so proud of him. It was the same old Keith Kelleher, by the way, in Dublin as well. Like, it was fantastic. But yeah, the one Conor Bradley song got a big airing up in Belfast. Keith Kelleher got a big one down in Dublin as well. So I agree. I think, if it was me, John, I think I would go Gomez left back, Bradley right back as well. It's just then, obviously, we don't know what Ibu's situation is, but I'd be fine if it's Quanta or Konate, really. It is what it is at this point.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with anything Dan said. It's, you know, I think that's where a lot of our strengths come from in recent weeks, isn't it? You know, Van Dijk's really led from the back, and everyone who's been around him has been fantastic as well, in the sense of no one's really put a foot wrong. So, absolutely no changes for me, really.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's talk about midfield then. Again, so in terms of options, you've got Endo, you've got Szoboszlai, you've got McAllister, you've got Gravenberch, you might have Curtis Jones, you've got Harvey Elliott as well, who's shone again on under-21's duty. He's just far too good for that level at this moment in time.
He knows it as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a joke. He's doing Rabona volleys. He's just taking a mick. Yeah, so midfield three, Dan, I would propose
go on.
Enzo, Szoboszlai, McAllister.
Yeah, you get no arguments for me there. That's cut and dried for me.
But I do feel sorry for Harvey Elliott again.
Yeah, but I get that, but I think you mentioned it earlier on. Listen, Harvey Elliott, he's got loads of quality. I want to put that before saying anything else. What he definitely doesn't lack is that desire and that work rate. And you mentioned going man for man. He will do that for you in that midfield, no two ways about it, but Szoboszlai will as well. So I think everything that Harvey Elliott has, everything he possesses, and there's loads of quality. And also, we shouldn't forget how good he's been from the bench as well this season.
Yep.
But also, Szoboszlai possesses all of that as well. And probably just that little step up in physicality, maybe even a little step up in quality as well. So I find it hard, as brilliant as Harvey Elliott has been, I find it hard to get him in almost any team.
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah.
My only question mark would be over McAllister, just because of the travel, because they played out in America, didn't they, I think.
But he's been back a good few days.
He's been back.
So thinking the matter, he'd be absolutely
fine. Norm is like a Thursday night, and he still, was it the Wolves game he played the first half? He was terrible, by the way. Yeah. But he got back on like a Thursday night, Friday morning, and played Saturday against Wolves, so I can't see that being. And he's been integral, by the way, as well.
It might be one of them where you play him 60 and then you give him the midweek off kind of thing, but he's my only one where you think you might see, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen like a Gravenberch or something there starting them. Maybe he comes on for 30 or whatever. But.
Yeah, I think
that's our best midfield right now. So Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai.
I'm not sure you're right on that.
You think Szoboszlai, Elliott?
Yeah, I think it's close.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Szoboszlai's been brilliant, to be honest with you. I think Elliott's been better than him in patches.
Yeah,
but
point.
Also, Szoboszlai,
I think he needs minutes.
It's hard. But,
and we know what he's capable of, Szoboszlai.
Yeah,
that's not to say Harvey Elliott isn't capable of brilliant.
I get it. I'm fine with it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's probably what I would do. But I think, again, I don't think it's... I think against the Brighton team, I could see the value in Elliott of the...
With his work rate and
I
all
think
that.
Yeah, basically. Man, Szoboszlai both excellent at that. You know, they're both not shy. It's why, even if he was 100% in good form, like a Gravenberch wouldn't be an option in this game, because I don't think he's up to it yet defensively. I think he's still got a lot to learn. Curtis Jones is a big miss.
Yeah.
Again, because he's another one who John mentioned before about keeping control of the ball. That's his job.
Yeah.
Even if he's fit, and again, Jürgen hasn't, we haven't heard from him yet, but it feels like, you know, for a guy who's been out since he's been out for a long time now.
A couple of months.
For him to just jump back into Star feels unlikely.
It does, yeah, massively. And not just because of his lack of match sharpness and lack of match fitness. And obviously, we always like, from a sports science perspective, we always like to build people up and give them 30, then give them an hour and so on, and then you might be able to start a game. But when you consider the options, if Liverpool were in a position where we were a few weeks ago, we were quite threadbare still. Maybe there might have been a case or a conversation around, we just kind of need to get Curtis Jones back in, but we're not. We've got Harvey Elliott. We're already debating Elliott or Szoboszlai. Ryan Gravenberch has been back longer than Curtis Jones, and he was out for a shorter period as well. So we're not in a world whereby we need to rush Curtis Jones back, so why would you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see how he goes for that one. And then up front, I mean, it's Nunes, Salah, Diaz, isn't it? Unless something mad happens. And then, it feels nailed on that would be it. Interesting, Dan, that you mentioned before, Luis Diaz did play international footy. I think one of them was at West Ham.
Yeah.
He hasn't done the travel over to Colombia. I know his half fella's been trying to get him to Madrid again for a couple of days, which is interesting. But Nunes didn't go, of course. Mo Salah didn't go as well. So they've had a couple of weeks, much needed rest and recuperation, because obviously they both out for a while there with that muscle. Again, since that Brentford game, they were both in and out the team, and it felt like they were both running on empty a little bit. So we could in theory get a real fresh Darwin Nunez and a real fresh Mo Salah, which is mouthwatering, really.
Yeah, it is, and I very much imagine that's the plan, and that's why they didn't go away, to be honest with you. That would have been obviously a club decision with the national teams, of course, respectively. But yeah, I think having those two with that bit of a break in their legs, with that freshening up, with that little, because they were obviously struggling with injury prior to it, there's a little bit of fatigue in show, they weren't quite ready. So yeah, with those two, with nigh on 10 days worth of rest, recuperation, a little bit of rehab, all that sort of stuff, it's a frightening proposition, and it's exactly what we needed as well, I think, because though we've spoken about this in the podcast this week, they are integral to this little running now. The goals that they offer, the dynamism that they offer, and obviously the threat that they offer in the final third is just absolutely astronomical. And that's not to say like the Diaz and Gakpo can't chip in. I think Jota's fitness will be really important when he gets back up and running as well. But Nunez and Salah are absolutely integral to what we do between now and the end of the season. So to have them with that little bit of extra freshness in their legs, a little bit of a spring in the step coming into this game is so, so important.
Absolutely, John. And then in theory, and Ellie makes a good point, if the team is what we just said it was, you there's a strong bench there as well. There's a possibility of Elliot, maybe Jones, Cody Gakpo, yeah, Ryan Gravenberch, Kostas Tsimikas, if he isn't in the team that we picked. Yeah. If Canate's fit, you've got one of Kwanzaa. Liverpool's bench there, while, listen, there's still players missing, really top world-class players, you know, the goalkeeper, the right-back, Jota, etc. It does feel like that's a game where Liverpool can have a good 11 and a very good bench there where you can make the changes if you need to as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, Ferguson did a few years with United, and I think it's been one of the key things for us this season is having that strong bench and making five subs. Mm-hmm. But you know, the great thing about it is like, we've just named the team there, and I don't think that team is in any way in deficit anyway. I'm not looking at that team thinking, oh shit, you know, we need a left back or whatever. You know, that's as strong a team as I would put out, and you know, you could even swap some of the names out and I'd still be happy, kind of thing. Yeah. But that's the strength I think we've had this year under the manager, that like everyone's at a level, if you like, in terms of like what they deliver, but also in terms of talent and ability. Like again, I'd have no qualms if Javier Elliott starts this game, and no, you know, and he's on for 60.
You can
60,
make a case for it, can't you?
You can make a case for it, and it's exactly what you want to see. I think, you know, it's rare to think, I think, you know, that we've ever had sort of like that sort of strength and depth in every position. You know, we've always sort of had it maybe like four areas in sort of the last 5 years, but we haven't necessarily had it like in midfield then or in at the back. And now we've seemed to have it all over the pitch, which is, we've almost like stumbled upon it. It's been quite, you know, it's been good, like, but you know,
these fellas know what they're doing, don't they? They know what they're doing. The emergence of the youth academy is certainly.
Well, Quanta's the key in that. We all three of us earlier on were like, well, Ibu might not be ready, so it's Quanta. We just all went, okay, fine. Like, that's ridiculous. Again, take me back to the start of the season. If you'd have told me we'd be sat here end of March going, Quanta's sound, that's amazing. Against Brighton, who causes all these manner of problems down the years, that just shows you how brilliant he's been since he's come in.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Would agree with that one. Right, then let's have a little look at the context of this game. The Premier League table as it currently stands, Arsenal are top on 64 points from 28 games played. Their goal difference is a little bit better, of course. Liverpool are top or second, joint top, I'd say. 64 points again, but their goal difference is 39, Arsenal's is 46, so there's a bit of a significant gap there which might need to come into play hopefully Thursday night. It could be a chance if they beat Brighton that maybe they can try and do something there. That gap is effectively Arsenal snotting Sheffield United, so Liverpool could do with doing the same. And then of course City on 63 points on 28, so just a point back from those two. We've just spoke there about Liverpool Brighton, Dan, I'll get predictions in a moment, but of course Arsenal City play each other this weekend as well. That game kicks off pretty much half an hour or so after Liverpool's game against Brighton. It's at Man City as well. Arsenal's record at the Emirates is absolutely abysmal. What do we want? I mean, a draw, obviously, is what you want. What a better outcome if someone wins? Arsenal stay top if they win, but it's Arsenal. City are right back in it if they win. They're in trouble if they lose. Like, I haven't quite figured out who I want to win if it's not a draw.
Oh, I have. Arsenal. I want Arsenal to win.
Get City gone and have a title as Arsenal.
It's obviously, you know, it sounds crazy because Arsenal will remain top of the Premier League, you know, for all intents and purposes, unless we did something utterly insane against Brighton, of course, and switched that goal difference around. But yeah, I think killing off a team, a beast, a juggernaut like Manchester City, who we've gone toe-to-toe with and course and distance with numerous times during Klopp and Guardiola's reigns at their respective clubs, just feels like the better outcome to me. And don't get me wrong, Arsenal are a proper outfit. They're the informed team right now at the top of that Premier League for me. And listen, we've been really good, City have been really good, but Arsenal for me are the best team in it right now. However, there's still something about it. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen them do something like this yet. That's why, until I have done, I'll never be convinced that it's possible. So, yeah, I think get me in a title race with Arsenal, kill off Manchester City, and I'd be a pretty happy man. If you go into the last 6, 7, 8 games with City, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 points clear, whatever it may be, wonderful. Give me us and Arsenal to the end, sound.
Because in theory, if you win, if Arsenal win, you know, you're leaving Man City 4 points behind you.
Yeah.
There's two games where we've got to drop points, which can still happen. Of course, it can still happen.
But then they need to be perfect.
Like
Anne
says, yeah. Arsenal got the harder running of the two, so maybe yeah, they do. They have to.
Spurs, which is love London derby, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is difficult, but yeah, obviously we all want the draw. The ideal scenario, John, you know, if Carlsberg did Easter Sundays, as Liverpool win, get a 67, City draw, and then obviously they're on 64 and Arsenal on 65. You got that little 2-point gap there ahead of a game that Liverpool will be hoping to win on Thursday against Sheffield United as well. That is the ideal outcome. Again, it's worth mentioning Arsenal's record at the Emirates is abysmal. Like they don't just have. Sorry, at the Etihad. It's good at the Emirates. It's horrendous at the Etihad, rather. Yeah, insert Gulf State name stadium here. But
yeah,
at the Etihad, rather, I should say. Still find it hard to see Arsenal going to City and winning. City don't lose at home. That just doesn't happen. It's very similar to Liverpool. It would be the statement of all statements if Arsenal go to the Etihad and win, because they haven't done it and nobody's done it.
It would. I think my fear with Arsenal a little bit is the context of everything else around their season. So Dan's right in that they haven't done this before. I think they could go and do it. I think they've shown sort of the character over the last sort of 3 months, if you like, that they've been going out and just snotting teams and it just being, you know, you said the informed team in the league, they've just been absolutely just like steamrolling people. My fear with them is I think we saw how they struggled against Porto and sort of both legs. They've got that next round of the Champions League to come up. They haven't really got an option. If you're an Arsenal player at the minute, or Saka, you're playing every game, end of. And that, at some point, that's going to show, particularly when you go into this running in the season and when you go into games against games like City. There's big matches where you need to go out and perform. You know, it's a big ask, and I just think the weird thing with City is like they've got so many players who like just don't do anything for 2 or 3 months, and then such and such a person's out. Like obviously they've picked a few knocks up during the international break. Oh yeah, well, you know, we're just going to play some fella you've never heard of at left back or right back, and then Bernardo Silva's just going to go front as number 9 and score 4 goals. You know what I mean? And it just comes out of nowhere, and I'm so used to seeing it. And that's just a paraphrasing what Dan said. You know, it's like I've seen City do it, I haven't seen Arsenal do it, and I just think, but if you know, it's not to say they can't do it, and you know they have been really impressive this season.
You might have an advantage. Obviously, John Stones, Kyle Walker both left.
Akanji had
a little bit of an issue as well. So there might not be a better time for Arsenal in the form they're in, going to a depleted Manchester City. What's Ederson up to? Obviously, he got the injury against us.
I think he's let out off top.
There's that as well. Like if you're Arsenal now, you're not really going to go to.
You're not going to have a better opportunity.
To the Etihad with a better chance to win.
Not in this stage of the season as well, with so much on the line. Like you might have gone there in an FA Cup game where they've named the change it or something like that, but given the importance of the magnitude of the game in terms of what's available to them in terms of personnel, you're not going to have a better chance to kill them at the Etihad. No two ways about it.
Yeah, so Ederson is he potential. De Bruyne, obviously he missed international duty as well. You've got Akanji, Stones and Walker who are all, we'll find out. So yeah, they're not going to, if they're going to go there, and to be fair, what Arsenal have done recently, John, they've found their goal scoring boots. Like it isn't the same fella scoring, but Saka's getting on the goals and Odegaard's getting involved. Like they are getting their goals. Kai Havertz is absolutely chipping in as well. So they've got the firepower to hurt Manchester. Again, it could be City without their best goalie, their best centre back, and their best right back, and then their backup centre back as well. Like they'll still have Gvardiol, Diaz. Who else would be playing there in that situation? We could find out what else they did, but they're not going to be horrendously poor. But it's not going to be the watertight Manchester that sometimes we've seen in the past.
It hasn't, though, and it's like, you know, I think the great thing that Arsenal have got in their favour is they've got the options at least a little bit. You know, they've got like your Trossards and the like that they can throw on if they need to. I don't know. I find it hard. I just think like with Pep, he's so good at like just sort of strangling teams out. He's the type of thing where like Arsenal will rock up, and we've had it happen to us as well, where like Arsenal can go up and play brilliant football, and he'll just go, "Yeah, I'm gonna put some lads on like I don't know, Declan Rice or, you know, or on Odegaard, and then all of a sudden Arsenal can't play football and no one knows why, and then, you know, three or four days time Carragher's doing a piece on Monday Night Football saying here's how they stopped the play.
Nathan Ake just man marked Saka out the game or something.
It's the cliche, by the way, but I think the important thing is the one thing I'm happy about is that everyone I've spoke to all week has been talking to me about City, Arsenal, not about us playing Brighton, but we need to go.
I was watching a lot of TV coverage, and it's all been like this City Arsenal title decide. I was like, hang on a minute. I am absolutely signed with it. Fill your boots. If Liverpool win, they go top of the league.
Well, that'll change if we win and they draw. Yeah. The whole landscape changes then, doesn't it? Yeah, it's mad.
It's a new dynamic, John, because we're used to these title races. 10 games to go, it's Liverpool v Manchester City, and it's go, go, go. The Arsenal thing is an interesting wrinkle that I don't think anyone really, even when City have, it might not have been us, but when they get in title races, it's often against one other team. It's very, very rare that you're at this stage of the season where three legitimate contenders are all still involved. It's a strange scenario for us all, really.
It is, you know, even in my lifetime, I think you're going back probably 20 years, you know, it's like really like, you know, Chelsea sort of Arsenal, United, you know, Mourinho kind of days, like for things like that. But it's good, and you know, it's like it's good because I think the focus shifts. You know, I think there was a point probably 2 or 3 months ago where the focus was a bit more on us, maybe. You know, obviously, at the start of the season, it was all on City, and this last run up to this international break put it back onto Arsenal a bit with the form they've been in. But it's good, and you know, it's what you want, isn't it? You know, we want a league where, you know, teams can take points off anybody, which is what we're getting. But also, like, you know, I want to believe, if you like, that Arsenal can go to City and win. You know, the problem we've had, I think, for a number of years under this manager is not that we haven't been good, it's that other teams can't take points off City. You know, and that's ultimately where we've lost leagues and stuff. So you want a third man, if you like, or even a fourth man, you know, to come up and do these things and take points off that team and wear them down. But, you know, like I say, for me, it's all about us. And I just think if they can, if we're here in 5 games and all of a sudden it's like, hang on, our Liverpool 4 or 5 points clear and we've all been talking about that, then great.
Right then, to round up, I'll get your score prediction for that one first then.
Oh God.
How do you see City Arsenal going, John?
Oh God, you want to put me on the spot?
Do you want me to go first, or what do you think? I think Manchester City win. Like a 2-1 or something like that.
I'm glad you said that, because I want us to say draw, obviously, as everyone does.
I want it to be a draw, but I think City will beat them.
I think it'll be something like 3-1 City. I just can't see past City.
It's just that them at that ground, it's like, well, they just don't lose. They just don't. I mean, a draw is certainly a possibility, but I just think when it goes to big games at the Etihad, you'd fancy City just to find a way.
Okay, I'm going to say 2-2.
I'd love a little Desmond.
I'm going to say 2-2.
Obviously, I'm all for it, don't get me wrong. I'll be
and a proper end-to-end. A
couple of red cards.
Yeah, yo, that'd be the dream.
Not big injuries, but if someone wants to like do a little 2-week army.
Yeah, they play each other again probably, don't they, in a few weeks in the semi-finals. Potentially, yeah. So, massive.
That happens, by the way. I'll be diving through that window to rub his head.
I would not mind if any. Yeah. I'm not saying like, I don't want no career enders, but if someone wants to get like a little 2-week army, or like a little calf twinge or something, then fill your boots, lads. Don't warm up. Just get out there, you're fine.
Sun will be out then.
Yeah, you're not anyway. Ignore the sports scientists. Just go out and run really, really fast without any warm-ups whatsoever. And finally then, prediction for the big game of the weekend. Liverpool-Brighton. Dan Liverpool gets to go first. It's a huge opportunity. Again, every game just feels absolutely mad now. It's sickening, really. It's where we all wanted to be, because this time last year we were miserable trying to chase fourth, like unlikely as that was. This is where you want to be, but it does make you feel ill thinking about it, but I'm going to make you think about it. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I think the early and first goal is absolutely imperative in this one. I see us doing it. I see us getting that. And
that would be
us,
very unlike us. That would be very like the opposition to do that against
us. It would,
us.
But I think a nice, calm, serene afternoon is kind of nice, because obviously we've had the relief of the international break now, which was much needed in my opinion as well. But yeah, I think this to sort of carry on the positive vibes and just to relax for the rest of the day really until we watch Arsenal City. I'm going to say 3-0 Liverpool, actually. I fancy it. Yeah,
absolutely. Chris has gone for 4-0 to the Reds as well. Nigel says City to win Arsenal. City beat Arsenal 2-1, then Liverpool beat Brighton 4-1 before that. I'd take it every time. Ganto is going for a 3-1 to Liverpool. So is Paul. So the people in the comments section live are confident, John. Are you as confident as the gang there?
Yeah, I feel fantastic. Really calm. I feel really calm about it. I want to say 3-0. I think it could be a bit of a mauling. I think off the back of the United game, I think, because we were good, you know, it wasn't that we were bad in that game. I think a lot of them are going to go out there and be like, all right, well, we've got to be good, but also make it pay, like, yeah, you know, convert the chances. So I think it, high scoring for Liverpool, I think, and I think we win, so I'll go 3-0.
Absolutely, absolutely fantastic. The one thing I think about Brighton is that there's no scoreline that's safe. You could be three up after 60 and they're not going to stop, they're going to come for you. So I think that Liverpool will be remiss to take the foot off the gas like they did at Old Trafford. I think if they score, I think they'll keep trying to score, and I think that's the right way to go about it. I think 4-1 to Liverpool.
Goals are plenty, isn't it?
I think it'll be like a 2-1 game, and then we edge away at the end.
Couple of late ones.
Yeah, because like I say, they're going to go for it. That's what they do, and then maybe you can nick them on the break or whatever. I think Liverpool's bench strength could come into play as well, but I'm saying 4-1. Like, that sounds like I'm confident we're going to bat them. I think it's a tough game.
They'll have moments, and they'll
I think it's a tough game. Like, I really do. I wouldn't be shocked if they scored two. Like, it wouldn't be a shock at all. They've got that in them. Like, they are a difficult team, and this manager has proven at the moment he's had Liverpool's number, so you can't be like cocky, but you can be confident in your lads. That's what I am.
They're just very get at-able, aren't they? They get beat like Luton recently, absolutely snotted at their gaff, and that
get at-able is a very good way to describe.
It just doesn't make any sense. Not a real word, but it's
a
thing.
Got before Luton.
Four, wasn't it? Luton, yeah. And if Luton, with all due respect, can do that to them with our firepower, with our freshness, we've always spoke about Salivan Nunes being absolutely ready to go. Like, they'd be chomping at the bit. You'd imagine we have a lot of chances.
Their big weakness is their defence and goalies. So he rotates their goalie a lot. They're both decent, but he rotates them every game. And they've got there's that Hecha lad at the back at centre half who's half decent, but other than that, they haven't really got.
Dunks had a bit of a mad week, anyway, with England.
It
hasn't gone well for them, has it? Bless them. So, yeah, it's all there to play for. Right, guys, thanks very much for joining us. Thanks, all you guys, for watching or listening to this episode of the Match Preview Show. Come and join us on Sunday back on Watch Along Duty. The kickoff for the game is 2 p.m., so we will be live from 12:45 with the Uncensored Match Build Up, and then from 1:45 with the whole Watch Along. Do go and check out the HelloFresh offer as well. Get yourself some Boss Scran. Links are in the description below. Go and check all that Boss stuff out, and yeah, we'll see you all on Sunday. See you in a bit.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.